You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. We continue our candidate conversations with the Republicans running for U.S. House, turning now to Lee Murphy. This is Murphy's second run for U.S. House. He ran for the state's lone House seat in 2018, but was narrowly defeated by Scott Walker. He also unsuccessfully ran for Newcastle County Council in 1984 and State Senate in 2000 and 2002. A reminder, the interviews you hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. So we'll ask why you decided to make another run for U.S. House. So you ran last cycle. You're trying again now. What prompted you to try again this time?
You know, Tom, sometimes in politics and running for office, sometimes the first time you don't succeed. So it takes a second time. And quite frankly, in 2018, we got in the race very late, June of 2018. We ran a great campaign for three solid months up and down the state. A lot of people didn't know me, especially in Sussex County in 2018. We did everything we possibly could in 2018. And we came up short on the primary. But right after that kind of tough loss, we thought about what we were going to do going forward. And I decided that not to give up and to make another run here in 2020. We actually announced back in June of 2019, and we've been campaigning up and down the state since June of 2019. And we are in a great position right now. I feel very confident. We just recently got the unanimous endorsement at the Republican convention, state convention. And it's no small feat to unify this state, at least on the Republican side, Sussex, Kent, and Newcastle. I have support in all three counties, and I have a unified Republican Party behind me, and that's so important going into this race in the fall.
I know you feel probably you're a little bit better known this time around than the last time. But are there some things that or something that voters should know about your qualifications for this job that perhaps they wouldn't know already or know by glancing at your website or doing a Google search of you?
Well, Tom, I like to say that, I'm the blue-collar candidate here, the Republican blue-collar candidate. You know, I after graduating from college, I settled here in Delaware 50 years ago. I began my career as a school teacher right here in the Catholic Diocese of Wilmington, Delaware. I've coached sports at Archmere, St. Mark's, and St. Elizabeth's. You know, I had a growing family way back. The salary for a teacher in a Catholic school was quite low in the 1970s, so I had to seek other career opportunities. My grandfather worked on the Pennsylvania Railroad for 50 years. I always loved trains growing up, so I got a job on the railroad and started as a laborer in the track gang and moved up the ladder, train dispatcher, train conductor, locomotive engineer, went into management, had a very satisfying and fun career on the railroad for 35 years.
Let's talk about some issues.
Sure.
How well do you feel the federal government, and specifically Congress, has done in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic? And if there's still no readily available vaccine or well-established treatments for the virus by the end of this year, what would you want Congress to prioritize in an ongoing response if you're elected?
Well, I think number one, the bills that Congress has passed to help people in need and businesses. Right now, we're experiencing a bill that's in Congress. It's quite frankly being held up by the Democrats. People need help. They need financial help. Small businesses need help. The Democrats have packed these bills since COVID started with unnecessary pork. We don't need to fund the Kennedy Center. We don't need to address global warming with these bills. We need to help people in need. People have lost their jobs. People have to pay their rent. They have to pay their mortgages. Small businesses, through no fault of their own, need money. They need assistance. So to delay these bills, as the Democrats have, and my opponent has, quite frankly, over and over again, that serves no purpose. People need help. And the president recently signed these executive orders that will give people the help that they need. They will continue to have payments from the federal government so they can pay their mortgage, so they can pay groceries. It's no time to play politics right now. People need assistance. And people have lost their jobs, and through no fault of their own, and the government should make them whole going forward. Once I'm in Congress, whatever is needed for people and businesses, I will support that. I will never, ever put pork in any bill that's designed to help people in an emergency pandemic situation as we face right now.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the economic piece of it in a moment, but in terms of COVID response from Congress beyond the economy, are there things that the federal government or specifically Congress should be doing in terms of addressing the virus itself, testing, vaccines? Are there things that, is there a role for Congress in that realm to help make things better?
I think obviously Congress needs to supply the funds needed for testing. And we have tested more people in our country than any other country around the world. We need to continue to test people for the virus. That should be ongoing. We need to bring, there is research going on. Pharmaceutical companies are stepping up, and there are possible vaccines on the horizon. The Congress needs to encourage this research and support this research. It would be nice if we could bring all the research together under one roof, and whether our federal government should support that and make this a concentrated effort to find a vaccine for COVID. But we may not have a vaccine for COVID, and we have to come out of this one way or another. We need to get our economy back on track.
Let's get back to the economy for a moment, because you talk specifically about kind of this immediate relief for people as the pandemic is going on. Obviously, it's already had kind of a ripple effect where even should things get better, should there be a vaccine, there's still a recession that's going to have to be worked out of. There's still high levels of unemployment. And I guess the question for you there would be then, what role can Congress play in getting the economy back on track more long-term, particularly if the pandemic kind of lingers a little bit longer into 2021, and this is a longer recovery than a shorter one?
Well, I think Congress has to, I think we have to encourage small business and business in general. I personally believe in the small business owners in this country, the people that own restaurants, the small businesses that have been ignored during this pandemic. If a Walmart or a Home Depot can open safely, I think small business could especially open safely. I think that Congress's role in that is to let small business have the latitude to safely open their businesses. They know their businesses. They know what it takes. And we've seen across America, many small businesses and small business owners really are innovative during this crisis and have opened their businesses safely and just to survive.
Let's talk a little bit about some other issues. Healthcare was certainly a major issue in the 2018 midterms, as you may well recall. There's still a lot of uncertainty about the future of the Affordable Care Act. And at the same time, there's a growing push on the progressive side of the Democratic Party for some kind of Medicare for all. What do you see as the appropriate path forward when it comes to addressing healthcare? And if it's not the ACA and it's not Medicare for all, what should it be?
Well, it's not the ACA. And I feel that the Obamacare was not a very effective solution to our nation's healthcare needs. This is a very complicated problem, but I really believe that it has to be not driven by the federal government. Okay, I don't have faith in the federal government in many areas to run anything, let alone billions and billions of dollars in healthcare. We really have to address what's needed. This has to be, I think, a private-driven solution to our healthcare needs in this country, where everybody has accessibility to healthcare. It has to be quality care, and it has to be affordable. Again, this is not a simple problem, but it needs to be addressed. Even during these times, I mean, people are severely challenged health-wise and also economically. So healthcare needs to, in my opinion, be driven by a private-public solution, more private than public, to fit the needs of people throughout the country. And competition among the states to drive down healthcare costs. Competition in terms of our prescription drugs, people be able to get those drugs from outside our country. An example is Canada, where the drugs are less expensive for people to have access to affordable drugs. It's something that we need to address and solve in this.
Any concern if the courts do throw out Obamacare, for example, about there being a gap between that plan, which is in place, and whatever would come next, particularly in terms of things like pre-existing conditions and such? Is there any concern on your part that in the absence of something to replace Obamacare and the ACA immediately, if it does get thrown out, there would be a gap for a lot of people that would be very difficult to bridge?
Well, pre-existing conditions have to be taken into consideration, and people with pre-existing conditions have to be covered during any kind of gap, as you mentioned, from one form of healthcare to another form of healthcare. You know, the healthcare, the Democrats talk about Medicare for All, and 180 million people are happy with their healthcare, private healthcare in this country. They would lose that healthcare that they're currently happy with. But getting back to address your question, yeah, they would have to be, people with pre-existing conditions have to be covered during at any time.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about racial equity. Obviously, the country has seen protests throughout the spring and summer focusing on issues surrounding racial equity. And the topics on this have kind of run the gamut from removing monuments and renaming sports teams to police reform and addressing disparities in areas like housing and education. What do you believe Congress's role is in addressing some of these issues going forward?
Well, we have had a lot of racial unrest here in our country in the past few months. As a congressman, number one, I will support our law enforcement. Many talk of defunding the police. I find that absurd, and I would vote and support police. I would vote for more funding for training and other purposes. We live in a country where law and order needs to be obeyed. We live in a country where there is a process if you want to take down a statue. We live in a country where if you want to change the law, there is a process. Or even the Constitution, there is a process. What's going on in the country right now in cities like Seattle and Portland is quite disturbing to me. It makes it more important for people to stand up right now in this country. Stand up for the values, stand up for our Constitution, stand up for our law enforcement. This lawlessness cannot continue in our country. I witnessed here in Wilmington the taking down of the Caesar Rodney statue in Rodney Square, and quite frankly, that was very, very disturbing. Personally, I think the statue should still be up. To have a certain group of people demand that it be taken down, and then for our elected officials to bow down and just take it down, goes against everything I believe in.
No matter how the 2020 elections turn out, the political atmosphere is likely to remain a contentious one. How would you work with colleagues from the other party to tackle pressing issues like some of the ones we've talked about already?
Well, again, we're in a time in our country, and I can remember here in Delaware years ago where Republicans and Democrats actually worked together. That was called the Delaware Way. Well, the Delaware Way is long gone away, and that's unfortunate. It's gone away here in Delaware. It's gone away in our nation's capital. I personally, in my lifetime, have worked with people that don't see eye to eye with me, whether it be on my church parish council or my civic association or my swim club, for God's sakes. I think the majority in this people in our country, and I really believe this, that are a little bit left of center, or they're a little bit right of center, or right in the middle. We have extreme factions in this country that does not really do anyone any good. So when I go to Congress, I would like to sit down with my colleagues that are Democrat and look, we have to move ahead as a country, and we have to get things done here. And that's why, quite frankly, I want to go to Congress, is just to make life a little bit better for my grandchildren. And if I can do that, I'll be proud of that.
And finally, is there an issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle, and how would you address it if you're elected?
Well, at home here, a couple things. At home here in Delaware, in 2019, we had 0.0% economic growth. The prediction for 2020 was negative economic growth here in Delaware before COVID. We have to address the economic situation here in Delaware. We have to bring manufacturing jobs back to Delaware. We don't have General Motors. We don't have Chrysler anymore. We don't have DuPont Corporation to the extent that we had that years ago. We have to bring manufacturing jobs back to Delaware so people that graduate from high school and college can work here, can stay here. There's nothing for them right now. One of the first things I want to do when I go to Congress, sit down with the president, and I talk to Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas about this, is bringing drug manufacturing back from China, where it poses a threat to our national security, quite frankly. Many of us did not know it, that our drugs, life-saving drugs, are made in China. We need to bring that manufacturing back to the United States. And why not bring that manufacturing, that drug manufacturing, back here to Delaware, where we could supply our citizens with really good-paying jobs. And I will be determined to do that. And one other issue where Delaware, this is a very personal issue to me, the opioid drug crisis. We are second in the country in overdose deaths. And this is a problem that is increasingly getting worse, even with the COVID, with the shutdown. We need to address this opioid drug problem. The president has earmarked $6 billion for this. I want to bring those resources back to Delaware. On the front end, we need to invest in prevention. And on the back end, we need to invest on long-term treatment programs for those that are ready to face their addiction and turn their lives around.
That's Republican candidate for U.S. House, Lee Murphy. Our full conversation with him is available at DelawarePublic.org. Next, we wrap up the Green with a look at the Democratic primary for the 8th District House seat in the General Assembly. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.